Imagine standing at the edge of a cliff, clutching heavy stones that represent your past hurts, regrets, and anxieties. Simply opening your hands would bring immediate relief, yet something keeps your grip firm. This paradox lies at the heart of our struggle with letting go. We cling to emotional baggage that weighs us down. Past relationships, perfectionist tendencies, critical self-talk, even when releasing them would set us free. Why? Because these attachments, painful as they may be, have become familiar parts of our identity. They provide a false sense of control in an unpredictable world. The cost of this attachment is immense. When we refuse to release what no longer serves us, we sacrifice our present happiness for the illusion of safety. We exhaust ourselves trying to control the uncontrollable, judge ourselves harshly for human imperfections, and remain trapped in cycles of rumination that keep us from moving forward. Yet, freedom is possible. The journey begins with understanding what we can and cannot control, a wisdom that dates back to ancient Stoic philosophy but remains profoundly relevant today. Life simplifies when we distinguish between what we can influence and what we cannot. This requires developing three mental faculties: judgment, governing thoughts; desire, guiding wants; and will, directing actions. When stuck in traffic while late, you can't control the congestion, but you can control your response, calling ahead, listening to a podcast, or practicing acceptance. Similarly, after a job interview, you controlled your preparation, not the hiring decision. This perspective doesn't eliminate disappointment, but prevents unnecessary suffering. Try this exercise. Draw two concentric circles. Place controllable factors in the inner circle: study habits, communication style, effort, and uncontrollable elements in the outer circle: others' opinions, market conditions, weather. This visual reminder helps direct energy toward what you can influence while releasing the rest, reducing anxiety and building resilience through accepting reality. Our minds constantly generate good or bad evaluations, creating unnecessary suffering. Non-judgmental thinking means observing experiences without automatically attaching labels or opinions. This isn't about becoming emotionless, it's about seeing clearly. Instead of labeling anxiety as terrible, we might simply notice, "There is tightness in my chest." When someone cancels plans, rather than thinking, "They don't value me," judgment, we observe, "They canceled our meeting," fact, and "I feel disappointed." Practice by rewriting judgmental thoughts as factual statements while acknowledging feelings. Track recurring judgmental patterns and imagine life without these habitual assessments. The goal isn't eliminating judgments, but recognizing them without automatically believing them, creating space for wiser responses and greater emotional freedom. Have you ever been so consumed by emotion that you couldn't think clearly? Self-distancing creates space between yourself and intense feelings. Rather than being swept away by immediate reactions, you step back and view situations objectively, like watching yourself in a movie instead of being lost in the drama. This skill helps regulate emotions and promotes creativity. Research shows people who think from a distanced perspective generate more innovative solutions than those immersed in details. Try these techniques. Refer to yourself in third person. Sarah is feeling anxious rather than "I'm anxious." Imagine watching yourself from across the room during difficult conversations. Or consider how a situation will look 5 years from now. When Sarah found herself in a heated argument with her partner, she mentally stepped back and observed the interaction as if watching a film. This suspended her emotional reactions long enough to recognize her defensive patterns and respond more constructively. By creating mental space, we gain clarity to replace automatic reactions with responses aligned with our deeper values. That nagging critical voice in your head generates frustration and anxiety. While self-talk is normal, research contradicts the belief that criticism motivates improvement. It actually creates shame and self-doubt, leading to procrastination and avoidance. Awareness is the first step to freedom. Notice when your inner critic appears and what triggers it. Ask, "What am I afraid of? What would it mean if that happened?" Often, the critic is trying to protect you from vulnerable emotions, like fear of rejection. Speaking to yourself in second person creates helpful distance. Replace "I'm so stupid" with "You made a mistake, but everyone does." Connect with genuine emotions beneath your fear. Sadness, frustration, anger, separate from shame. Jess criticized herself before presentations, thinking, "You'll mess up and everyone will think you're incompetent." After recognizing this pattern, she developed more positive inner dialogue. Remember, your inner critic developed as a misguided protection mechanism. Acknowledging this compassionately begins your path to freedom. Perfectionism traps us in impossible standards and harsh self-judgment. The healthier alternative is excellentism, setting high standards without making them unattainable. While perfectionism breeds anxiety, depression, and fear of failure, excellentism embraces mistakes as growth opportunities and focuses on progress. Research shows excellentists achieve more with less burnout and procrastination. They recognize diminishing returns, understanding that beyond a certain point, additional effort yields minimal benefits. By focusing on excellence rather than perfection, we operate in the zone of increasing returns, becoming more productive, creative, and fulfilled. To shift from perfectionism to excellentism, identify an area where you tend toward perfectionism. List what perfect looks like, then deliberately let go of something that doesn't meet your standards. Observe what happens when you release this expectation. Orlando obsessed over being the perfect host with a spotless home and gourmet meals. By focusing instead on creating a welcoming atmosphere, he channeled his energy toward what truly mattered. When we let go of perfectionism, we often discover that imperfection leads to unexpected delights. Guests feeling more comfortable in a lived-in space, or meaningful conversations emerging when we're not stressed about every detail. Excellence means doing your best within reasonable constraints, not achieving flawlessness at any cost. Forgiveness isn't about excusing harmful behavior or reconciliation. It's about freeing yourself from resentment. Research shows forgiveness involves developing a balanced view of the offender, reducing negative feelings, and relinquishing the right to punish. It demonstrates strength and self-care. The 4 D's provide structure: deep diving into how the offense affected you, deciding what forgiveness means personally, doing the work of understanding the transgressor's perspective, and deepening by finding meaning from the experience. When Jane's friend betrayed her confidence, she worked through these steps, examining her feelings, defining forgiveness as releasing resentment without restoring trust, understanding her friend's perspective, and developing resilience. Self-forgiveness follows the 4 R's: responsibility for acknowledging mistakes, remorse for harm caused, restoration through making amends, and renewal by moving forward with commitment to improvement. Sometimes letting go means distancing yourself from toxic relationships through reduced contact or ending them entirely. Setting clear boundaries protects your well-being and creates space for healthier connections. Forgiveness is ultimately a gift to yourself that leads to greater peace and freedom.